careless soul, why linger? When I think about speaking on the topic of our wanting to obey the gospel or needing to obey the gospel, I think of Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 26, wherein the Bible says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus is saying that your soul is worth more than anything in the world. And not only that, but everything in the world. If you could get it all together, your soul is of more value than all of that put together. And so, my purpose this morning is to encourage us to give attention to our greatest need, and that is obeying the gospel. A person can know that he's saved just as well as he can know that he's lost. And so, turning that around, you can know that you're lost. And so, therefore, if that's your condition, I hope that you will no longer linger. One of the easiest things to do, friend, is to procrastinate. To put off what we know we need to be doing. But one thing that you and I do not need to put off is obeying the gospel. Careless soul, why linger? Also, I think if we understood the benefits of being a child of God, and if we understood the joy that's associated with being a child of God, we would not want to put it off. The word linger means to delay or to stay. And so therefore I'm delaying my obedience to the gospel. I am delaying becoming a child of God. The word careless means not paying enough attention. And so I am convinced that many times that's the situation. I don't think for the most part that people are out here just saying, "I want to be disobedient to God," or "I just want to do bad things." It may be the case then that I'm just careless about my soul. I'm just not paying enough attention to it. Maybe I'm just taking things for granted. And in fact, I think in America especially, many people just take things for granted about their soul's security. Did you know 96% of the people in America do not believe they're lost? And many of them don't go to church anywhere. I think they have the concept of God as just this very loving grandfather type of person, that if you ever had a good thought, if you ever did any good deed, if you're just a good old Joe out here, God's going to take you to heaven, whether or not you're in Christ and whether or not you're faithful. They're careless about their soul. Many people base their beliefs on "I think," rather than on a "thus saith the Lord." Well, you can go out here today, you know, a lot of things I don't have knowledge about. If you were to ask me about brain surgery, I'd say very quickly, "I don't know anything about that." And so things of which I've really not studied, I don't care to really express strong opinions on that particular subject. Because I don't know. I'll show my ignorance very quickly. But isn't it strange that many people, when it comes to the realm of religion, they will very quickly give you their strong opinions as to what God is going to do. Now, they don't know if Genesis is a man or a book of the Bible, but they have strong opinions as to what God is going to do. And they've never opened up to see what God has said He's going to do. They're careless about their soul. Careless soul. Therefore, we need to see the importance of obeying the gospel, and I'd like to give some suggestions as to why you and I need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Young people, also listen carefully. You need to understand why you need to become a Christian. First of all, you and I need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ because you have a soul. You're different from the rest of God's creation. Read, if you will, in Genesis chapter 1 about God's creation. But when you come down to verse number 26, you'll find that God says, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man. In His own image created He him. Male and female created He them. Consequently, when He came to man, He says, "Now let's make man in our image." He's not talking about our physical appearance. Rather, He's talking about our spirit. And so you have a spirit which sets you distinct then from all the rest of the creation. You're made in the image of God. We need to give attention to then that part of us that is made in the image of God. We also need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ because you are important. You're important to God. Did you realize that? With over 6 billion people in this world, it is easy to get lost in the crowd, isn't it? It is hard to realize then, in the midst of all of these people, individuality. But yet you're an individual. And God recognizes that. God recognizes you. He created you. He sent Jesus Christ to this world to die for you. When the Bible says that God so loved the world, you can just put your name right in there. Because you're part of the world. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The important thing then to realize is that if you were the only person that had ever lived, God would have still have sent Christ to die for you. You're that important to God. And there is something about you, friend, that makes you distinctly you. There'll never be another you. But you will continue to exist. In crime situations and things, fingerprints are very important. Because that narrows the field, doesn't it? Over 6 billion people in the world, but yet if they can get a copy of your fingerprint, and if it's on file, they can say, there's the man. You see, they can point you out. You're distinct. There's a little bit more high-tech way of determining that today, and that's through DNA. And that says, hey, you are you. Consequently, why not be the best person you can be? When you are existing eternally, it will still be you. Someone has asked me before, do you believe recognition in heaven? Not only do I believe it, I know it. And they say, how do you know? I say, because when I get there, I will know it, me. In other words, that teaches recognition. Otherwise, I don't know if I made it or not. And so one person I will know in heaven is me. Because I am distinct. God has made me that way. God has made you that way. And so therefore, rather than just floating along through life, and so we need a purpose, you see. We need to recognize that I am only here for a short period of time and I want to accomplish that which I can. I am distinctly me. You are distinctly you. You're that important to God. And you're that important to you. Not only that, but you need to obey God because your soul is worth more than the whole world. Remember what Jesus said. What does a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You'd still be a loser. And when it comes to the end of our existence here upon this earth, it really doesn't matter what we had in the bank, does it? Someone says, how much did he leave behind? And we say, all of it. We're all going to leave the same amount. All of it. People joke, saying, if I can't take it with me, I won't go. But you know the end of that story. They went. And they didn't take it with them. But you know, there are many of us, if we aren't careful, that's where we're not careless in that area. But we're trying to really focus our energies on that so that I can make it big. And while I admire the ambition, it may be that it's misdirected. And it's certainly not wrong to succeed in the business world or whatever. But don't sacrifice your soul while doing that, because it's all for naught ultimately. But not only that, some people think, I need to become a Christian before I die so I can go to heaven. But friend, you need to obey God and become a Christian for the good that you can do in this life. Remember what Jesus said, as is recorded in John 10 and verse number 10, that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he says, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ then offers us the abundant life in this life. Christianity is not to just go to heaven. You know who has the misconception about Christianity? The Sunday morning only Christian. And on one occasion when I was preaching on the need of faithful attendance, I just stopped my sermon and I said, you know, I preached on this before and you know that I love you and I know that you love me. But I just said, you know, I'm preaching on a symptom of a much deeper problem this morning. I said, some of you are not coming back tonight. And you know you're not coming back tonight. I know you're not coming back tonight. And God knows you're not coming back tonight. I said, I love you, but let me ask you something. Why are you here this morning? Why did you come to services this morning? You might say, well, I came because I love God and I came to worship God. Kindly, I suggest unto you, you're not here because you really love God. Because if you really love God, you'd be back tonight, if at all possible. And you'd be back Wednesday night, if at all possible. But that brings me back to my question. Why did you come this morning then? Sincerely, honestly, objectively, why did you come this morning? And the only conclusion I can reach is this. You come on Sunday mornings only because you think that if I come on Sunday mornings, I won't go to hell. You see, you're not really interested in going to heaven. You just don't want to go to hell. Therefore, I don't think you really enjoy Christianity. You're here more because you're afraid of God, of sending you to hell, than because of your love for God wanting to be with Him. And it reminds me of the little cartoon that I saw in a bulletin on an occasion where a fellow was running back. It was a long line of people at the judgment scene. And this little fellow was running back and he was throwing up his hands and jumping and the caption said, they're not counting Wednesday nights. I said, that's what you're banking on. That they're not counting Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. So you don't really want to go to heaven. You just don't want to go to hell. And consequently then, if I will come on Sunday mornings, I won't go to hell. And if I didn't think I'd go to hell and didn't have to come on Sunday mornings, I wouldn't do that. You see, I'm not really devoted then to God. I'm not surrendered to God. In fact, I've just kind of worked out a deal with God that I'll come on Sunday mornings if you won't send me to hell. Friends, Christianity is much deeper than that. God wants your heart. And it's not so much just the attendance. But that's not what God wants. And so it is, He just doesn't want my physical presence here. He's wanting my heart. He wants to bless me, you see. He wants me to be with Him. But He wants me to love Him in return. You think about it with your children. Are they come to visit you for fear of the fact that you're going to do something terrible to them if they don't? Don't you want them to trust in you? To rely upon you? Well, you see, that's the type of relationship then that we should have with God. And also because of the great good then that you can accomplish in this life, and young people, you can accomplish a great deal. There are people whom you can influence for good that I can never influence. Because they look upon me as a little bit different way than they would look upon you, you see. I'm supposed to say these things because I'm the preacher. But remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, said Solomon, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 1. Also, you need to obey God because you will exist eternally somewhere. You see, death is not annihilation. Death is not going out of an existence. Death is a transition. Death is my spirit leaving this body and going to be, hopefully then, you see, with the Lord. And one day we're all going to stand before God in judgment. But you know what? If you're ready, if you've obeyed God, that'll be a reward day. Many of us maybe fear judgment day, but it's a reward day. And Paul said that he would receive that reward on that occasion, 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 8. In one sense, then, it's like a graduation day. We don't fear going to that, do we? But you're going to exist somewhere eternally. 1,000 years from right now, you will be somewhere. And the road on which you and I are traveling today determines our destiny. Therefore, I need to obey God. Now, why linger? Why do people linger? Well, some people linger because they think they don't know enough. Well, preacher, I understand what you're saying, but you know what? There's a lot in the Bible that I don't know. Well, there's a lot in the Bible I don't know. But I don't have to know everything to know something. I am so grateful that God has made the plan of salvation simple. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Now watch this. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned or shall be condemned. That's not hard to understand, is it? Ethiopian eunuch. and one sermon from Philip, one Bible lesson from Philip, as he is returning home, the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" One lesson. Now, there's a lot I understand in the Bible that I need to grow and I need to study. But I don't have to figure out all of those things. I don't have to figure out all those symbols in Revelation to become a Christian. I'm grateful for that. So I'm grateful that God has made it simple. Not unimportant, but simple. The worship service that we've conducted this morning is rather simple, isn't it? It's not something that's orchestrated and something that appeals necessarily to the fleshly side of people, but it is simple. But it is something that each of us can do. So you can know enough to be saved, and you need to obey that. Some people linger because they are involved in some pleasure of sin and they don't want to give it up. Now, sin does have a certain amount of pleasure to it. That's why so many people are involved in it. Yet the Bible tells us that it's short-lived and the consequences of it are terrible. Moses understood that, so the Bible says of him, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in heaven. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Hebrews 11:24-26. We need then to properly evaluate things and quit lingering and come out of whatever it is that is keeping us away from God. Some linger because punishment for sin is not always immediate. Solomon said, "Because a sentence is not executed speedily against an evil work, therefore the hearts of men are fully set in them to do evil." Ecclesiastes 8:11. And so therefore people think they get away with it, but there's judgment day coming. Also, some linger because of what friends or co-workers might say. "Well, if I become a Christian, are people going to ridicule me? If I become a Christian, my co-workers, what are they going to think?" Well, you see, friend, I'm allowing the world to mold me when that happens. I know what I should be doing, but I'm allowing other people's convictions, or lack of them, is maybe a better word for it, to mold me. I'm somewhat like those Jews in Jesus' day in John 12:42-43, where the Bible says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, many also believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God." We want good words from men. And we treasure that to the point to where we will not do anything that would cause us to be in bad light with them or to suffer us. But you know one thing I learned when I decided that I was going to be serious about living a Christian life, young people, and I was younger at that point in time, when I would not go along with some of my former friends and some of the things that they were doing, they would ridicule me. Now, I didn't have to preach in my sermon, and I didn't have to do other things. All I had to do was refuse. They got the message. By my not going along with them, in one sense, was a condemnation of what they were doing without me saying a word. But I had, at least at that point in time, enough courage to say, "I am not going to do that because it is wrong." Then I found out that they wish they had that courage. You see, friends, a dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a live fish to go against the current. And so, therefore, don't be a dead fish just floating through life. Don't be careless about your soul. Revelation 21:8, the fearful head, the list of those who are going to be lost. And then some are just waiting for a more convenient season. "I'm going to obey God." I understand what you're saying there, Brother Blam, but "and one of these days I'm going to obey God." Kind of reminds us of Felix, doesn't it? "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Can you really go to the calendar and mark it down and say, "That's the day right there that I've X'd and I'm going to obey God"? Usually we don't do that. We just put it off. What we're doing, we're saying no to God. Some delay because they think they still have plenty of time. They think that they have plenty of time to obey God. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Remember the rich farmer in the parable of Jesus? His crops had brought forth so plentifully, he said, what am I going to do? He said, I know what I'm going to build greater barns, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. What's it? Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And the Bible says, thou fool. In other words, you're foolish one. You're not thinking right. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then shall whose all of these things be? He's talking about many years. What I'm going to be doing many years from now. And the Lord is saying, this night. This night. What if the Lord were to say to you, this day, your soul is going to be required of you? Where would you be eternally? Careless soul, why linger? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, said Jesus, Matthew 16:24.